Think back to a time when you drove late into the night, heading to a place where you had never traveled before. Perhaps it was a cottage up north in the woods. The highway heading north is well lit, but soon you must exit onto a country road and the dark of night presses in. And then you begin looking for the sign which will point to the narrow gravel road you are to take to get you ever closer to the cottage. The gravel road narrows, and it feels like the lights from your car are simply being swallowed up by the surrounding forest. You carefully inch along, and finally you come to the correctly marked canoe paddle nailed to a tree, which directs your way along an even more tight and darker driveway as you navigate the final kilometer of your journey to the cottage. You safely make your way by foot into the cottage and breathe a sigh of relief that you have arrived and offer up a prayer of thanks to God for his traveling mercies. The next morning, you're up with the sunrise, and everything you could not see a few short hours earlier is revealed in all its glory. To your left is a steep cliff, and you may wonder to yourself, how close were we to that last night? Before you, the lake shimmers and glows in the light of the rising sun. You lift your eyes, and the pine trees stretch out in their magnificence to the horizon. What a difference the light of day and the presence of the bright sun make. Where there had been a sense of fear and apprehension on the drive during the night before, now there is rejoicing in the natural beauty and hope for the time you are able to explore and enjoy the lake and the forests. Light changes our perspective. Bright light gives us hope as it shines around us and reveals the way ahead. Our passage today on this Advent Sunday of hope tells us of a people who walked and lived in darkness, but then they have seen a great light, and on them a light has shone. And with that light, they had hope for their future. Hope that shines brightly. Hope that became real. Hope that is everlasting. And hope that we here today and in each day can embrace in our hearts. We will read today from Isaiah 9, verses 2 to 7, which is found on page 387 on the Bible in your pew. But first, let's acquaint ourselves with the prophet Isaiah and his writings. Isaiah was an Old Testament prophet who lived in Jerusalem about 700 years before Jesus was born. He heard the voice of the Lord calling. He responded to God's call with a lifetime of faithful service. Isaiah's words are quoted with authority throughout the New Testament by Matthew, by Jesus, and by the Apostle Paul. Isaiah wrote and prophesied while living through the dark days that the people of Israel were rebelliously choosing. They had drifted far from God. They were descending ever deeper on a downward spiral, willfully refusing to depend on the Lord. The Lord who had made covenant promises to the people who now walked in darkness. But, as we will read, God is sovereign. God's plan will be done. Even during times of terrible decision-making, when confusion fills our mind, when our faith is eroded because of our unbelief, we will see and know there is hope in the light of Jesus Christ. Let's read now from Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of the hosts will do this. Friends, on this Sunday, I pray that you will see the light of hope through Jesus Christ shines brightly, and that you will rejoice that the tools of oppression are broken and the instruments of war are burned up. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The great light of hope through Jesus Christ shines brightly. Brothers and sisters, light and hope are forever linked together in an unbreakable union. Oftentimes, hope is presented as a future outcome. We hope that the weather on the weekend will be sunny and warm. We hope that someday we may be able to retire from our work. Those are valid hopes. But we know the weather is not controlled by us, and many of the conditions for someone to retire are a challenge to manage with any degree of absolute certainty. Only God offers bright, living, and eternal hope. From the start of creation, the light of God was visible for all to see. God is light, the scriptures tell us. Isaiah prophesies in verse 2 that the great light will be seen by the people walking in darkness. Indeed, more than 700 years later, John the Baptist carries on with Isaiah's inspiration and preaches, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." And who is the true light? Jesus, God's Son, the true light, and our hope. And because of Jesus, we are able to see him as our light and then take hold of the hope that he gives to us each and every day, all the way forward into eternity. And while his light shines as we live here, we will be able to be filled with all joy and peace in believing, to live a life now displaying to our family and friends that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Excuse me. When, finally, at the end of our life, the hope of salvation and hope of eternal life will be made real because God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. Friends, I pray you will see and accept the great light of Jesus and then be filled with the hope of Christ. Even now, you can confess your sin to him. Profess with your own words that he died for your sins and then 3 days later rose again from the dead. Believe that Jesus now sits in heaven ready to accept you into his kingdom. Your belief and true confession will cause you to understand and appreciate the remaining verses of Isaiah's prophecy in such a real and deep way that your life will be changed forevermore. Moving into verse 3, Isaiah builds his evidence for what is to come and how the prophecy will unfold. The people who are growing in number will now experience joy. The light results in growth, and the people rejoice. In the same way, we are able to celebrate God's bounty and provision during our Thanksgiving season. A harvest cannot happen without access to light from the sun. Similarly, we will not grow in our faith if we continue to seek out darkness and to avoid shining the light of God's truth into our own hearts. Isaiah goes on to explain in verses 4 and 5 why the people are able to rejoice and live with newfound joy. He confidently states that the tools of oppression and control have all been broken. Tools that the people and children of Israel would have been very familiar with in their own life. We read, "For the yoke of his burden." Imagine yourself with a burdensome and restrictive yoke about your neck, joined together with someone or a number of others to pull a heavy cart or to drag a plow over rocky and rough ground. The yoke is broken. You are freed from the burden. And the staff for his shoulder. Consider how it would be to have someone always watching over you and pushing you back into line with a heavy stick, and definitely not doing that in a kind and considerate manner. The staff is broken. You are freed from its constant pushing and prodding. And next, the rod of the oppressor. Every day you endure a thick and harsh branch clubbing you painfully across your back without warning, accompanied by angry words and threats against your life. The rod is broken. You are freed from its bruising blows and bitter terror. As on the day of Midian. Although Isaiah was a prophet, he did live in real time. To help prove his prophetic words, he was able to point toward instances where and when God had spared and delivered his chosen people from destruction, as on the day of Midian, for example. God had used people in the past to free the nation of Israel. As time would march ahead after Isaiah, God again would prepare someone to battle against the power of darkness. And Isaiah further amplifies his message to tell the people that even the implements of war will not survive the light and hope that is promised. For in verse 5 we read, "For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire." The boots, the warrior battles, battle gear, and their very uniforms will be burned up. War, which causes untold desolation and darkness, is no match against the light of God. Brilliantly, as only God can do when he inspired Isaiah to record his prophetic words, the final four in this passage reaches a crescendo and is revealed in verse 6. "For to us a child is born." Let us just meditate on these words for just a moment. What do you think of when you read and ponder on this sequence of statements in the verses from 4 to the beginning of verse 6? What emotions are raised in your heart? Today, 2,000 years after Jesus' birth, we have the glorious benefit of knowing that Isaiah's nearly 3,000-year-old prophecy was truly fulfilled. But what about the people of Israel living in Jerusalem at that time? They would have heard Isaiah speak about breaking out from oppression, to destroying the tools of war, and then ending with a child who was yet to be born. Where's the mighty king and his armies who would fight and do battle against their enemies? How is an infant who must still be born and then grow up going to save us? Valid questions when considered in our weak and human circumstances, especially when we are far from a relationship with God. Thankfully, though, Isaiah carries on and fills out the details of who this coming child will be. And in this child, the real reasons for hope do become clear. Although the people of Isaiah's time, and for hundreds of years afterward, did not receive the immediate blessing of the child, they did continue to be held apart for God's glory and to fulfill God's sovereign plan. God does not lie, and his promises are absolutely true. Isaiah begins to add some specifics regarding the child. First, to us a son is given, the Son of God, Jesus, fully God and fully man. These six words echo throughout the scriptures, but are captured wonderfully in John 3, verse 16. Note the inclusions from Isaiah as we read in John. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a marvelous completion of Isaiah's prophecy. The most consequential gift you will ever have the joy to receive. The perfect gift of salvation now through Jesus. The hope of everlasting life. The details now start to come from Isaiah's quill with incredible feature. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. His shoulders will gladly bear the burden of government in direct opposition to the oppressive yoke, staff, and rod which are wielded by governments across history and into this present day. His government and his rule will be just and righteous. Now, we can draw hope from the names which so clearly define Jesus' character that he showed while living in the land of Galilee for 33 years. Let's read. Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful here is spoken on a much higher plane than how we use the word today. In this context, all the wonders of God's love, mercy, holiness, and glory come together to describe the wisdom and counsel that God holds in his hand. The psalmist writes, "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations." Brothers and sisters, Isaiah's list of names deliberately begins with Wonderful Counselor. These are words that are generally connected with people. Immediately, the humanity of God's Son is confirmed. The gods that had given the chosen people and that they had been following certainly did not provide wonderful counsel. How much wisdom or love was poured out by the golden calf, or from the carved wooden poles that were worshipped by the children of Israel? Today, what kind of counsel or mercy do we receive from the gods we make and follow after in our own life? Does our bank account statement and our bank account balance give us words of wisdom? Do our social media followers and the number of their likes prompt us towards love, action, and humility? The artificial gods that we make so much of in our time will never be able to prick our conscience, to trigger a word of encouragement, or build our character. You may be asking, where and how do I connect with this wonderful counsel? Counsel at the level encompassing the name Wonderful Counselor is critical to having genuine hope for each day you live. We'll spend some time here as this is such an important connection to establish in our Christian walk. First, and most importantly, is making time to pray. Begin your day with prayer. Thank God for the rest you had and the fact that you have been given the gift of a new day. There is no life circumstance that you are unable to bring to God in prayer. We may not receive the answer when we expect it, or the outcome is not always what we desire. That is hard for sure, but it is still no reason for ignoring or avoiding prayer. Just this week, I heard a missionary tell us at a meeting with SEND how he now thanked God for a lengthy time of recent illness during which he prayed continuously and experienced God's peace. Unusually, at least in our human thinking, he said that he would not change the experience in one bit because of the newfound closeness and trust he has in his Savior. What a remarkable outcome, but one that should not surprise us when we fully place ourselves under God's care. Faithfully bringing all of our details of our life before our Lord will establish a testimony of his faithfulness to us. We will be able to look to our past and say, I prayed and God gave me the right words that I needed to apologize to my coworker. And with each passing day, we will gain confidence in coming into communion with God through prayer. And do consider that we are not only to be asking God to fix our situations or to heal what is ailing us. Prayer is experiencing relationship with our Creator and the one who provides our next breath. You would not likely only have conversations with your friends where you are asking them to give you something or always seeking their help. Similarly, in prayer, spend time expressing your thanks to God for the energy he provides you to meet an important commitment that you have maybe made to your boss. Give praise for your experiences while delighting in a golden sunset. Confess your heart's attitude after you make a sharp remark to your children or to your spouse. These are all ways that we can be in communion and prayer with our God. And God will use his infinite wisdom, mercy, and holiness to work in our thoughts and actions the more frequent and sincere we become in our devotion to prayer. Second, God has provided us with 66 books in the Bible that reveal his wonderful counsel. There are so many ways in which we can discover the truths that are recorded from creation all the way through to Revelation. There are instances where a nation or an individual's story is recounted, and God clearly tells us in the scriptures how their actions or decisions were right or wrong. There are nuggets of truth in each of these accounts which can be applied almost immediately or stored away in our heart for use in the day when a comparable situation is before us. Using the wisdom God has revealed to others will help us to make decisions that bring him honor and glory and spare us from the pain and peril of a misguided choice or decision. Jesus is indeed the wonderful counselor as Isaiah describes. Get familiar with his teachings and the counsel he offered to children, women, men, healthy, sick, believers, and those who wanted to kill him. Observe his actions and reactions in these situations. Feel the emotion and tenderness as he spoke and got down before children, or as he gave comfort to family who grieved the death of a loved one. Jesus lived a full and complete life from birth until death. His life far exceeds the scope and limits of our life. But he was tried and tempted. He was hungry and tired. He was persecuted and mocked. And in each of those moments, how he behaved is here in the scriptures for us to see, to understand, and to learn from. Yes, indeed, there was no sin in him. However, his behavior shows us the perfect and righteous action that we can take now in 2025 with the help of the Holy Spirit. Remaining silent when we would want to argue. Not giving in to temptation when our favorite indulgence is at our fingertips. Refusing to think or to act upon a lustful thought. The Bible is straightforward and direct in the wonderful counsel contained in its pages. Get into God's word. Listen to his voice and hear the words Jesus spoke. Grow your heart's acceptance of these truths and strengthen your daily hope in the light of Jesus. Third, I encourage you to get into the presence of people who love the Lord. Attending church regularly and participating in the fellowship here at Jacqueline Street is a great way to start. Putting yourself into a sincere mentoring or discipleship relationship with a godly brother or sister will deepen your knowledge, understanding, and application of the wonderful counsel that flows from a Christian who prayerfully and sincerely upholds God in their daily walk. Proverbs tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, and one person sharpens another." Note that there are two people involved here in this verse. Get yourself into a sharpening relationship. In time, you will better cut through the noise and confusion of life as you apply the wonderful counsel shared with each other from the scriptures and during your times of prayer. With the help of the Holy Spirit, you too will increase your capacity and capability to sharpen others as you carry out Jesus' command to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Isaiah gives us three additional names for the Son. Next, we read Mighty God, which again provides affirmation that Jesus is one with God. There is no one person or any nation that is able now or at any future time to go against the power of Mighty God. All of the combined power of the 8 billion humans on this planet, along with the computing power of artificial intelligence, is but a tiny pop when compared to the eternal and real might of God. With absolute assurance, Isaiah proclaims that the tiny baby is indeed the mighty God. Next, Everlasting Father brings our reference back to the relationship that all of humanity have with their creator and sustainer of life. The Father has and will always care for his people. Our Everlasting Father fulfills all of the responsibilities and duty of fatherhood with mercy and justice in true accordance with his holy nature. And finally, Prince of Peace. Jesus alone can give us peace in our hearts, that our salvation is secure when we believe in him. He alone will bring the world into peace that has been battled and fought for by kings and rulers for the past thousands of years. And his peace will last forever. And we can have the hope to be among the people who will live under and with the Prince of Peace. Isaiah puts a final and emphatic stamp on his prophetic words in verse 7. We read, "Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." God's kingdom and the peace that he will bring will have no end. Every day, new believers are being added to the number who live now and will forevermore be in God's kingdom. A kingdom that is just and righteous because God is just and righteous. Isaiah takes no credit for what is the hoped for outcome for the son who will be born almost 700 years after he wrote his words. God will do this. God's love for his people is of such strength and might that he will accomplish this. From this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. All of the battles of this world and all of the unbelief of humanity do not stand a chance against the zeal of the Lord. His wisdom, his love for the people he created, and his righteousness and justice will prevail. Friends, I pray that as you think on the scriptures we explored here today, that you will see that the light of hope through Jesus Christ shines brightly. That you will rejoice, for the tools of oppression are broken and the implements of war are burned up. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. Let's pray. Father God, we give you praise that the prophetic words from Isaiah spoke thousands of years ago are true and ring true even here today amongst us. Father, I pray that we will take these words, believe them, and understand them and live them out in our hearts, and that we will share these words with people this week. Father, we pray all of this in your precious and holy name. Amen.